So thankful that you're all here this morning. Thank you so much for coming out. We've been engaged for the last couple weeks talking about this kind of theme, Seek and You Will Find. And it's been kind of a sequel to 3 or 4 weeks that we did entitled What in the World is Going On? I just wanted to give you a heads up that starting next week, we're going to be doing some special things to lead up to Christmas. You'll hear more about that next week, but it's going to be fun. We're going to do some fun things in the next 3 or 4 weeks leading up to Christmas. Do you remember a couple weeks ago when I talked to you about this idea of seeking and finding? I told you that everybody as a kid at one time or another has grown up playing hide and seek. Remember we talked about that? And I wanted to just show you for something just a little lighthearted here. I wanted to show you something. These are pictures of what they call hide-and-seek fails. Like you'll see what I mean. So here's the first picture. Remember, these are kids playing hide-and-seek. So here's number one. There they are hiding. They're sticking out. Here's another one right here. You'll like this one. Here's a young man hiding underneath. This next one is, it was a great idea, except for one thing right here. This was a great idea, hiding under the box, but the box is clear. Again, another great idea here of a child hiding behind the curtain, but the light shining through. This next one is kind of, and must have happened around Christmas time. There they are hiding behind this last one is my absolute favorite. This is, I just had to show you this one. This one is like totally awesome right here. Right there you go. hide and seek. You know, when I looked at this picture and all of them, really, I thought about that's what it's like trying to hide from God. That's how God, when we think we're hiding from God, God sees us right here, right there. We're just standing behind the light pole, right? So over the last couple of weeks, we've talked about why seeking is so important. You may remember a few weeks ago we talked about a passage out of Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 15, and how Judah found itself in a bad place, and it was really due to a failure to seek God. And Asa the prophet comes along and says, this is the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord is to go after God again. And when they started to go after God again, things started to turn around. And of course, we can see that on a national front. You can also see it. You should be able to see it in your own personal life. And so we've been talking about, the value of seeking. This morning, what I'd like to do is I'd like to talk to you about the how to seek. How does that work? How do we go about seeking God? And in many respects, I'd like to liken it to cooking. Seeking and cooking. Cooking is a mixture of science and art, right? It's like this blending of certain things that are kind of scientific in nature, but it's really kind of an art form of sorts. Like you take A plus B plus C and you throw that stuff together and it equals, whatever. But how many of you know that some people are better at it than others? Amen. Right? Like you don't want me cooking for you. I can, listen, I could put A, B, and C together, but it's still not going to come out just right, right? I remember when we were first, yes, thank you very much. I remember when we were first married, I tried to surprise my wife and make a meal for us, and I think we're still, our stomachs are still upset by it 38 years later. Seeking God is kind of it's an art. It's something you have to work at, something you have to work on. And what I want to tell you this morning, or share with you this morning, is there certain ingredients that go into seeking God. Now, I'm not going to be sharing with you every ingredient, because like a good soup or like a good meal, people who are gifted at it know certain spices, certain things to put together with other things that make it taste really, really good. But I want to start by saying to us that when it comes to seeking God, there are certain things that we are called to do personally, and some of those same things we are called to do corporately. Let me say that once again, just to get started. There are certain things that we're called to do individually or personally, and there are also things that we are called to do corporately, together. For example, I want to share this verse with you right here. This is David saying, "You, O God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water." Now, what I want you to see in that particular verse is that it is David talking about his own personal pursuit of God. I'm thirsty for you. I'm going to seek you. So part of seeking after God is what it is we do individually. Are you there? Like, we have a personal responsibility in all of this. But there is also the corporate aspect of it. Here it is right here. In Isaiah 2:3, it says, "Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of our God." I want you to notice in that verse that it is a plural, a we kind of verse. Let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. Let us go up to the house of our God. That is a corporate thing. That is us going together to seek the Lord. Now, there are those who think and believe that you only have to seek God for yourself or by yourself, that you can do it alone. And certainly there is an aspect, there is a part of seeking after God that has to be personal and private in nature. But you must understand that part of seeking after God has to be done corporately with others who are seeking after God, because there are only certain things to be discovered privately and other things to be discovered corporately. For example, if you are only seeking God when corporate opportunities are provided, then there is something missing. But if you are only seeking God privately and never participating in the corporate opportunities, there is something missing. Have you ever eaten something and realized as you're eating it, something is missing? Like salt, right? Like you're eating something, you're going like, man, this thing is really flat. My wife, bless her heart, is health conscious, so she doesn't believe in a lot of salt. So many times when stuff ends up on our table, I've already got the salt shaker on the table because it needs a little, just a little bit of extra spice there to lighten it up just a little bit, right? So nothing to be critical. You do an awesome job. But again, trying to be conscious about the salt intake and whatnot, she goes light on the salt. So what I'm suggesting to you this morning, and what I want to show you in Scripture, is that there is both in these ingredients that go into seeking after God, there is both this individual part of it, and there is this corporate part of it. Right? Are you there? Okay, so I want to start with this ingredient. These are like, I'm going to get to the spices at the very end, but these are like the meat and potatoes of the soup, so to speak. Number one is prayer. We're talking about what goes into or how to seek the Lord. It will necessitate that you pray. I don't know if I got the right crowd this morning. If you are going to seek after God, which I'm highly recommending, it will involve prayer. You will be praying. You will need to pray to God in order to seek God. You will need to do that individually. You, when you're away from here and you're engaged in your life, if you want to be involved in seeking God, it will require that you as an individual carve out time to pray to God. You need to pray. Here it is. I'll show it to you biblically. Here it is. In Psalm 5:3, the psalmist writes and says, "In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice." What do you think that person's doing? Praying. They're praying. "In the morning, I lay out my requests before you, and I wait in expectation." What is the psalmist waiting in expectation for? The manifest presence of God. He's in the morning, first thing in the morning, this individual is making his voice known to God, pouring out his heart to God, making his requests made known to God, in faith believing that God will manifest his presence to them individually. So prayer is one of the key ingredients in this heart that seeks after God. You need to do it individually. Do you remember Jesus when he was teaching in Matthew chapter 6? He said, you know, there are those who pray publicly so that everybody can see them praying, hear them praying, so forth and so on. He said, what you need to do is find a private place where you can get away with just you and God and begin to let your heart cry go out to him in private. In faith, that the prayer that God hears individually, personally, in private, God will answer that prayer. That's what Jesus taught. So there's an individual, again, we're talking about seeking God. There is an individual aspect of seeking God in prayer. But there's also a corporate aspect. In Isaiah 56:7, it starts out by saying these, meaning all people, I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. In other words, God is calling all of his people together, and part of the focal point of all of that in seeking him is prayer. Jesus made reference to this particular verse in the Gospel of Matthew, I think it is, in the latter part of it, when towards the end of his earthly ministry, he went up to the temple. You may remember this story. He didn't like what was going on there. He started turning over tables, the place where they were changing out money. Does anybody remember what he said? This is my Father's house, and this house should be a house of prayer. You have made it a den of thieves. They were ripping people off and trying to sell the sacrifice and stuff like that. But Jesus quoted from this passage. He quoted from this verse saying that all the people coming here corporately, this should be a place where they could pray and seek God together through that means. So prayer. Everybody got that? If you want to be a seeker of God, if you're going to go forward in seeking after God, then you're going to need to pray individually. And there's a reason why when we come together, whether it's in small group settings or whether it's in a larger setting like this, we make place, we make time for prayer, because prayer is one of the key ingredients of seeking after God. Okay, number two, here we go. Ingredients in seeking the Lord. Number two, His Word. The giving of ourselves to His Word. Now, in the Bible, we are encouraged to read His Word and meditate upon it, right? We all know that. What you may not know is that that word meditate is a Hebrew word that literally means to chew the cud. It's like a cow out in the field laying down there, and their mouth is going from just kind of re-eating the stuff that they already ate once when they were standing up. They're laying down now, and they're chewing their cud. So for us, what that means is that individually we are going to take God's word in, and we're going to meditate. We're going to chew on that. We're going to think about that. We're going to let that go over and over and over again in our hearts and minds. You know, sometimes I think of these, there's nothing wrong with them, but I think of these Bible reading plans. I've done them myself. And the idea there is to get through as much as you can, right? Like, you got to read so much in order to get through the Bible in a year or whatever. And those are fine. That's great. But for me, I'd rather take a verse or a couple verses and meditate upon it. Just read it and let it soak into my soul. Let me chew on that. Let me think about that. Let it ferment inside of my heart, where it starts to take on richer meaning than just reading through it so I can say I read it, right? I want to chew on it. I want to meditate on it. So we need to do that. We need to do that personally. Here it is in Psalm 119:15. It says, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. Here's another one right here, individually. This in Psalm 1, it's talking about the person who's looking to seek after God. He says, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he will meditate day and night. Meditating day and night on the word of the Lord, right? So seeking God's presence personally will involve us personally giving ourselves to God's word. But there's also something that you need to understand, is that there is a corporate, a together seeking after God, and part of that involves us giving ourselves to His word. Here's one right here in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. When it's talking about the early church and they all found themselves together, meeting together in a particular place, one of the things it says about them is that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Well, the apostles' teaching is what we know to be the word of God. They gave themselves, they devoted themselves, they were practicing, as they were seeking after the Lord, they were practicing this idea of allowing the Lord's word to become a meaningful part of their hearts. You see, when we come here as a church, as a local church, as a church family from week to week and at various times during the week, we open up God's word, so we can let it begin to have the rightful place in our heart that it so deserves, right? Right? That's why we're doing this, right? We're seeking after God. That's why we're here. I mean, it's nice that we get to see each other from week to week. And good morning, how are you? Really good to see you. So glad you're here. That's all great. But the real reason we're supposed to be here is to seek after God. We are seeking His face. We are seeking His presence, His manifest presence here among us. All right, so we've got prayer. That's why we pray. We pray because we're wanting to seek God and His heart. We give ourselves to His Word. Why? Because we want to seek after God and His heart. And then thirdly, we want to worship. We want to worship. Now, there are so many scriptures I could give you about this particular aspect of seeking after God, but I want to share just a few with you this morning. Here it is. Let me start right here. This is in Psalm 108:1. O God, I am faithful to you with all my heart, and you can trust me. Now, here it is, right here. I will sing and play music for you with all that I am. So you've got a one person, an individual, looking to seek after God, to go after God with their heart. And one of the components of that is, I will sing and play music for you with all that I am. Here's one here, another one. In Psalm 34:1, it says, this is I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I want you to notice that it's a personal aspect. It's a personal responsibility to come into God's presence with music and with singing. Now, just like cooking is an art, music is an art, right? Some people are better at it than others, right? Like if you've been around church long enough and you've sat around a number of different people, you know some people have the ability to make melodious sounds, and you turn to them and you go, "Wow, you're really good at that," right? And then you've also found that there's other people that you've been next to. You should have figured this out by now, that can't do that, right? I call them jailhouse singers. They're jailhouse singers. And when I say jailhouse singers, I don't mean that they're like Paul and Silas, you know, when they sang in jail. I'm talking about people who are behind a few bars and are looking for the key. You know what I'm saying? That's what I mean by jailhouse singers. They're behind a few bars and they're trying to find the key, right? It's just not working for them. But here is the really, really good news. Here's the really good news. Do you know all the Bible asks for? It doesn't say anything about, you know, being able to harmonize. Doesn't say anything, about any of that. All it says is simply this. To make a joyful noise unto the Lord. That's all. That's all. Just a joyful noise to God. And as you and I look to seek after God, we are called personally, individually, to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. If I really... That means that in your own life, in your own private life, there should be some joyful noise being said. If you have a heart to seek after God, not just believe in God, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about going after God, seeking after God. Part of that will involve you opening up your mouth, and whatever comes out, let God translate that into a joyful noise unto Him, right? So we do that personally, but we also need to be doing it corporately. Here's one, 95:2. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise. I want you to notice that's not I, that's us. Let us make a joyful noise to Him in song, right? We are exhorted in Scripture to join with others in giving grateful praise to God. Seeking the Lord is not about us simply doing it individually or simply doing it corporately. It's not an either or, it's a both and. That's how we seek God. We do it personally, we do it corporately, we do it with prayer, we do it with word, we do it with joyful noise. Those are some of the ways that we seek His presence. The reason we are seeking His presence is because we need Him. We need His involvement in our lives. Now, in closing, I want to give you some other ingredients. I've kind of given you the meat and the potatoes, the prayer, the word, the worship. But I want to give you, you know, when you're making a dish, when you're making a soup, for example, you're gonna put in some chicken and you're gonna put in some noodle and maybe a little bit of carrot or something like that. There's gonna be some things you see in your bowl there. There they are. But besides those are some spices that make that dish or make that soup. Voila. You know what I mean? That's good. Right? If you just take some chicken and just some noodles and maybe dice up a carrot and you do nothing else with it, trust me from experience, it's blah. But when you take those little bottles out of that, whatever the cupboard is at your house, and you put a little dash of this and a little dash of that in there, right? It somehow all of a sudden makes the thing come alive. For those of you who are really good at that, you know what I'm talking about. It makes it come alive. And so I want to talk to you about some of the spices, some of the beautiful spices that go into this wonderful thing here. In light of what we're celebrating this week, I wanted to remind you with this verse right here, but I want to underline a particular word. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. If you want to attract the presence of God, then you need to figure out how to become a thankful person. Just the other day, I was at a local store here, and a guy came in. I was there purchasing something. I don't remember what I was buying now. But a guy came in, and he let it be known throughout the store his unhappiness. Right? Yep. And my immediate feeling was, I want to get out of here. There was nothing attractive about it at all. It was like, okay then. I felt bad for the people who worked there. And I was like, I just couldn't wait to get out of there. And I as I left that place, I thought, That dude doesn't have a grateful heart. You know, you can talk about whatever it is you bought and it didn't work the way you had hoped it would, right? Or the way that they sold it to you under the impression, right? You can talk about that and say, you know, I don't know what happened here, but this thing don't work, right? But you don't have to have a bitter, ungrateful heart while doing it. Especially because the people in the store aren't the ones that made the stupid thing. You know, this is Sally trying to make a buck to put some food on her table, right? She's just stocking the shelves. So you can deal with the stuff without being an ungrateful person. Look at this one right here. It says, serve the Lord with gladness. Say gladness. 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 That means happy, for those of you who don't know what that word means. serve the Lord. Be happy about serving the Lord. In the process of seeking after God, you will attract the presence of God when you are a happy, thankful person. Amen. It's like God says, oh, I can show up there. When you're being grumpy and complaining all the time, God says, just like I did when I'm not interested, right? It's true. It's totally true. The Hebrew word for gladness means a sense of delight. That means you are delightfully grateful and honored to be even considered worthy of God manifesting His presence to you. If you wake up every day and you say, Lord, I can't believe that you're willing to walk with me today. I can't believe that you're willing to show up in my life in meaningful ways. I'm dumbfounded by that. And I am thankful. I am thankful. I don't know what went on yesterday, but today is a new day. And I am thankful and grateful that you want to be involved in my life. I'm telling you, when you start out that way, it attracts the manifest presence of God. God likes to hang out with people who are thankful. I'm going to invite the worship team if they'll make their way back up to the platform. And I just want to say a few things in closing as they're making their way to the front here. Now listen, please hear my heart. I believe, I kind of hinted at this last week, but I'm gonna try to reiterate it and say it as clearly as I possibly can. I believe that one of the primary reasons that we as a church family have been blessed to experience the manifest presence of God among us is because, listen now, it's because there are numerous genuine seekers among us. Seekers privately and seekers corporately. I want to suggest to us this morning that one of the reasons we have been, but you do know that we have been blessed and favored with God's presence. I hope you know that. And that this doesn't happen in a vacuum. I believe is God shows up where He's wanted, where He's sought, where He's needed. Oh God, we need you. I think that happens privately. And from experience, I know it happens corporately. Listen, I wish I could tell you this morning that, and please, no offense to any of you that are on the platform today, but I just want to say, I do not believe that God's presence is here because we have skilled musicians. Although I'm thankful for skilled musicians. The reason God likes to dwell with us is because we genuinely recognize how much we are desperately in need of Him and are seeking Him on a day, a minute to minute moment. Like, I need you right now, and in 5 minutes from now, I need you just as much as I needed you back then. Now listen, here are some of the spices in our meal today. There are spices like humility. There are spices like passion. There are the spice of
of persevering, the spice of repentance, the spice of being thankful and glad. All of these things, dashes of all of these things go into making a wonderful dish of seeking after God. That's what keeps God showing up. The minute that you and I say or convey to him in some way, we don't need you, he moves on to another place. We've seen that biblically. He shows up where he's wanted. That's why I'm suggesting to us, if for example, our nation would come back into a place of saying, God, we need you, God will show up. If any one person in their individual life conveys to God, God, I need you, God will manifest his presence to you. God will show up. But it's not enough just to need him on Sunday morning. You got to want him on Monday too, and on Tuesday. If you're only needing God, if you're only seeking God when corporate moments arrive, then that dish that you've somehow put together, it's missing something. I happened to take home ec when I was in high school. We had to. And the teacher taught us how to make a pie. I don't even remember what pie it was. Yes, I do. It was a vanilla pudding filled pie. This is in 12th grade. And me and another buddy, when we were making the pie crust, we forgot to put shortening in it. I think that's what it was, shortening. The thing, it was supposed to be like this. The thing looked more like a tan frisbee when it was done. And I remember when we took it out, you could take a fork and beat on it, and you weren't going to break this thing apart. We took it out of the thing and started throwing it around the room like a frisbee, right? There was something missing. There was a key ingredient that didn't get put in there. And I'm suggesting to us this morning, when it comes to us seeking after God, there has to be the private ingredient and there must be the corporate ingredient. Otherwise, it's not a complete dish. There's a lot going on in the world that you and I live in. And I believe, this is my firm, humble belief, that if people will seek after God, they will find him. God's not hiding intentionally from anyone. If people will seek after God, if individuals will seek after God, if people corporately will seek after God, God will reveal himself to us. I leave you with this. Oh, I can't. They switched the screen. Here's the verse. You don't have to switch screen. Don't switch screen. Just listen. Too late. There it is. I leave you with this verse. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. God is everywhere all the time, but he wants to reveal his manifest presence to us. He wants to speak to us. He wants to engage in our lives. But in order for that to happen well, you and I must seek him. We must want him. We must need him and let him know that. I want to pray for us before we go back. Maybe you could just stand with us. Lord, we've already sung about your faithfulness and your goodness. But Lord, I'm here. I hope we're here this morning saying, that's been nice, but we still need you. We still want more of you, Lord. More of you, not more of your stuff, more of you. We seek you, Lord. We know when you promise in your word, if we seek you, we will find you. Lord, I pray for every individual in here right now that when the blessing is said and we head out the door, Lord, I pray that you won't allow them to forget about what we've talked about here today and over the last few weeks. I pray that every individual here today, Lord, will take it upon themselves to do what they need to do in order to personally seek after you. That you would put it in all of our hearts, Lord, to seek you personally. And Lord, I pray as a church family, as a church body, we must never, ever, Lord, forget. We must never forget how much we need you, how desperate we are for you. That when we come here week to week and time to time, Lord, we are here seeking your face. We are here seeking your presence. Because we need you. We need your presence. No matter how proficient we might become at any one thing, Lord, we have never gotten to a place where we don't need you. Lord Jesus, we need you. Every hour, we need you. We can't make it 1 minute without you, God. And as a local church, Lord, we can't do one more service without you. We need you. That's why we're here seeking your face. That's why we're here praying to you. That's why we're here giving ourselves to your word. That's why we're here worshiping you in song, Lord, because we need you. Holy Spirit, we need you to come. We need you to do what only you can do. In and among us, we need you, Lord. We need you. We need you.